Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. Welcome back, if you've been here before. Today is the December the 14th episode. That is episode 62. Thank you for joining us. I am your host of the podcast, Daniel, joined by my marvelous co-host, Jordan. How you doing, Jordan?
Jolly Jordan.
Jolly Jordan or Jingle Jordan?
Jingle Jordan is dead.
No, Jingle Jordan!
Jolly Jordan has murdered him because Christmas is only 10 days away! Woohoo!
That's right, this time travel 11, thing.
Sorry, Eve is 10 days away. Christmas is 11 days away.
Santa is 10 days away.
Santa, yes. Well, does he? Yeah, I guess he does do his work on the Eve.
Yeah, okay. Santa comes on Christmas Eve. Jolly Jordan doesn't know what day Santa comes?
No. See, are you Jingle
really,
Jordan.
Are you really Jolly Jordan, or did you kill Jolly Jordan who killed Jingle Jordan?
No, Jingle Jordan reincarnates into Jolly Jordan. It's a very, very painful process. And then Jolly Jordan, in another 7 days, will turn into Jehoshaphat Jordan?
This all sounds like Janky Jordan to me.
No, that's the other, like, 50 weeks of the year.
That's the one you don't want to mess with at all.
That's the other 49 weeks of the year of the podcast.
You should get a load of Jaundice Jordan. He's the one that just having a bad day.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is a podcast where we talk about video games. In fact, this is a podcast where we game in the slow lane. What that means is you're going to hear us more often talking about games we already have and have gotten updated that we like, playing our favorite games, or maybe we might be rediscovering some old classic game we never got to try out originally, or we got some good deal on it, something like that. And we talk about that stuff more often than the latest, hottest news, but that's what we have fun with. We hope you have fun with us here, too. We're going to go over our topics that we have for you this week, and then we're going to go into the best part of the podcast, the question and answer section, where we answer your questions, dear listener, live on the live recording on Twitch. Or you can email us questions over at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com or head over to our Discord channel over at patientplayers.com/Discord. You can send us questions there. Join us throughout the week for games of Among Us, hanging out, talking about Animal Crossing, whatever else has your interest. Join us on that Discord channel. In the meantime, there's no shortage of things to get talked about on this podcast. That's
true, Dad.
An English sentence that I totally meant to say.
That's how many things there are to talk about that it starts to slur your vocabulary knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
So many things to get talked about.
Yes. And for those with the Twitch stream or YouTube archive here that might see, I've now been joined by Dr. Jolly Jordan.
Doctor? I was thinking more like pirate.
Evil genius extraordinaire with his mechanical eye patch eye. What are you doing there?
Patient Players Evil Incorporated. It's just a Coke Zero cap that I thought I'd stick in my eyeball.
Oh, okay. That sounds like something Janky Jordan would do.
I have to entertain myself while you do the intro somehow. You know, there's a reason why Daniel does the intro every week. It's because it bores me to tears. And if I'm the one doing it, I would do so bad because I'd be like, hey, welcome to Patient Players, where we game in the slow lane. We talk about stuff. The end. And that's it. That'd be my intro. Oh, shoot.
So if you're bored by the intro, what do our listeners think? How can we spice up this intro, Jordan?
Can you do it with a French accent next time?
You don't want to hear me do accents because, one, they're bad, and two, they're really inconsistent.
I think that's more reason for me to want you to do that.
All right, well, I'll brush up on it for next week, so.
Woo!
Welcome to the Patreon Players! You were instantly afraid. You were instantly afraid.
Oh, hey, if I put the cap in sideways, do I look like a kitty cat with the slit eye?
No.
Oh.
You still look like an evil genius to me.
Or do cats have the slit up and down in their eyeball?
Well, welcome to this audio podcast. Thank you for joining us as we talk about Jordan's visual antics. What did you do this week? You got anything fun going on?
Christmas is happening. I wrapped presents.
Oh, I should do that.
Boy, did I wrap a lot of presents. I got a lot of stuff for a lot of people this year. And there's a sad reality of when you do that, everyone's gift goes down in value because you're still as broke as you were before. And you got to make it work for more people.
It's like my quantity of love has increased, but not my means.
Yes, absolutely. So I did that, and I actually had a Friendsmas this fine day. Where, yes, we had some friends, and we exchanged a few presents. And I actually got a video game today.
You received a video game. Interesting.
I received it. I gamed in the slow lane so well that I got it for $0.
Okay.
But you could factor in what I bought them as a gift. I always like to do that. When I buy someone something, I'm like, what did they spend on mine? And So it's like, what did I end up paying for what they gave me?
That seems like
makes sense.
Bad way to think about gift giving.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't help it, honestly. But I got them a really nice ornament.
Yeah.
And they got me a Switch game. So I think I won that interaction. However, they did love the ornament. I feel like I need to point this out.
Okay.
It was of their dog, and it had their dog's name on it.
Oh, that's very thoughtful.
It touched their heart, and I was very happy to get a Switch game from them.
Was this like everybody gets something for everyone, or did you like draw names or something?
No, I just like buying things for my friends, and some of them also like to, but then the other ones feel awkward because they don't like to, and so they feel pressured to, and I'm just like, you really don't have to, like, return the favor. I'm just like, giving gifts is a big love language of mine, where if I care about something, I want to get them something.
Yes.
That will make them happy, not just, here's a random pretzel, even though you're like, you know, lactose intolerant or allergic to gluten.
Or
there's,
you know,
milk in this pretzel.
Perhaps when your best friend convinces you that he's gotten you a gift and it turns out to be a free Splatoon item that everyone on the Nintendo Family Plan got, and you are very, very disappointed by that. And
oh, I forgot about that.
And your best friend learns a very important lesson about not to joke around about gifts with you because they mean a whole lot to you.
Oh, my word. Wow. Look at my eyes. Oh, my goodness. That is so weird. That is crazy. Can you, like, retell that story in detail, please, so I can remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what happened?
Just that, so...
I blocked it out.
So, with the Nintendo Online service, there's, like, a family plan where you can have up to 8 people, and me and Marion... And it's less expensive than 2 people buying it on their own, so me and Marion bought one, and we had all this room on this family plan, so we added you, we added a few other people we know that have Switches onto this plan. And
we filled that sucker out, right?
Yeah, like, it's full. Super fast. Yeah, I've had, like, 3 people ask to join. I'm like, I'm full. My family is full.
But that is awesome. We need to make a second one, dude, honestly.
Just start farming them out, make it, like, a business. I'm pretty sure I'd get in trouble for that, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, no one needs to know. It's fine.
But anyways. Since I created the account, I'm, like, the parent of the account, so I'm everybody's Switch daddy, and from me, they receive their online access. And so the Switch Daddy received a special promotion from Nintendo where everyone who had the online service got a free item in the game Splatoon 2. But they just send, if you have the family plan, they just send you 8 codes. So I just got all of the codes all at once. And I was like, oh, okay, I know Jordan has this game and he might like it. And so I just, like, to be funny, I sent him a text and I was like, hey, I got you something for Christmas. Because it was around Christmas or it was your birthday or something. And I just sent the code. And I was just like, I got you this. Have fun with it. Plug it into the Switch Nintendo store. Because I think you just plug it in and be like, oh, it's a dumb, like, Splatoon item. And you texted me later and you were like, hey, don't, like, get my hopes up like that. Like, gifts mean a whole lot to me. And, like, you were really, really bummed that, like, you thought I had gone out and bought you, like, a nice Switch game or something. And then you found out it was just, like, a free cosmetic item. And you were really bummed about it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I totally forgotten about that. I've really chilled down, though, with gifts over the years. I've learned, like, I was dating someone, like, 4 years ago, and we, like, got in a fight at Christmas time about, like, gifts, because I was trying to explain just my gift-giving atmosphere.
It's how important
it
is to you.
There was a lot of incompatibilities there. So since then, I've been like, okay, I just need to chill out about presents. You know, people can give me whatever. If I don't like it, I can throw it away. I can sell it. I can add it to my... I have a pile of stuff over here of presents over the years where I just don't open them because I don't like stuff that I don't want.
So what game did you get?
Anyways.
You're leaving me hanging. What game did you get?
Oh, I got Pikmin 3 Deluxe.
Whoa, that's a good game.
Yes.
That's on my wish list.
I'm so excited to play it. I've never played a Pikmin game.
Cool. I heard it's a good one. I played through all of Pikmin 1, that was just, was that earlier this year? I feel like that was earlier this year. I think I talked about it on the podcast. I went back when I was doing all the stuff where I was loading my GameCube games onto my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I played through all of Pikmin 1 and really liked that. I do want to get around to playing 2. I was going to look to pick up a copy of that online somewhere at some point. But Pikmin 3 is on my wish list. So have you booted it up? Have you played it?
I have not yet, no.
Okay, because you just got it today, but, right?
Yes, yeah. I have a lot more of things on my list, but that one is definitely on there. Especially that it has multiplayer. I want to play it with Keaton.
Okay.
Because, honestly, I don't play enough games with Keaton, and Keaton has told me so many times over the years that I need to play Pikmin. He thinks I would like Pikmin. Mm-hmm. So now Pikmin 3 Deluxe has co-op through the entire game, if cool. I'm correct about that. So I would love to, I'm hoping to get together with him sometime and play through that, because I think that would be a fun bonding experiments.
I mean, with Keaton, everything is a bonding experiment.
Experience and experiment. Where did experiment come from?
I mean, it's Keaton, so that just makes sense. Hacker of the podcast, Keaton.
Yes, that is true.
I can say for certainty I have purchased your Christmas gift. It has been purchased.
No way.
Yes.
I have purchased yours already.
That is good. We have both purchased Christmas gifts for each other.
But don't get too excited. I mean, I think you should get excited, actually.
I am excited.
Too late. I don't know. Be a little excited.
It's too late. I'm already way too excited.
Oh, no. be a little excited. Actually, I hope you don't... It let me gift it to you, so that means you don't own it.
If it was via Steam, then yes.
Yeah, and like semi-recently you talked about it.
Okay.
And then it's also a big... I'm a big fan of it, so I was like, oh, and he talked about it, so I'm sure he would enjoy to have it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go. Cool.
Yep.
So no
Merry Christmas.
Playing of it, but you got Pikmin. That's pretty cool.
I did get Pikmin, yes.
All right, let's get into our topics for the week. What do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about? I've been talking about me already. Let's hear from you, Mr.
That's true.
Mr. Podcast.
I got to be real with you. I have played a lot of video games this week, and it's all been three games. It's been Dragon's Dogma. It's been Lumines for the Nintendo Switch, the puzzle game I mentioned last week that I bought on sale, on the Black Friday sale. And it's been Hades, which Dragon's Dogma and Hades I've talked about a lot on this podcast. And Lumines is the one I've played the most out of all of those, surprisingly enough. And
really?
I'll talk about it.
Are you trying to get like all 100 levels beat in a row? Is that what you're trying to do?
I got to 97 today.
No.
97. Last night, I got to 93.
No. No. How many hours does it take you to get there?
My level 97 out of 100 run today was an hour and 10 minutes. And last night, I got to 93. It was like an hour and 23 minutes or something like that.
So, are the levels just really hard at that point? Or, like, what makes you mess up at that point?
It's like Tetris. There's not, like, distinct levels. It's like, okay. You reached this score, so the level number went up. It's just the pieces drop faster. So, it's just I failed really hard, you know, Tetris-esque game an hour and 10 minutes into it. Which is crazy. Like... the idea that it doesn't feel like it's an hour. Like, you're just playing it, you're just in the zone, and you're having fun. It's just, like, it's super intense. It's been so fun. Marion also bought the game, and she hadn't played it very much until last night. But she's played it a bunch today. I've played it a bunch today. Some more stuff I'll talk about Lumines. So if you didn't hear last week's podcast, Lumines is a game. It came out on the PSP. It got remade for the Switch, and it's been on my wish list forever, and I bought it during the Black Friday sale. And it is, it's a puzzle game, you got pieces falling from the sky like Tetris, but you're not creating lines, you're creating blocks of color. So everything that drops is 4 cubes, so it could be like black, white, it could be all black, all white, it could be 3 of one and 1 of another, it could be 2 and 2, there's all sorts of combinations, and if you get 4 of the same color together, it makes a cube, and there's this measure marker that goes across along with the song across the screen, and every time that measure marker passes one of your blocks, if you've created a block of 4, it goes away and you get points. That's the game in its entirety. It's pretty simple, hard to master, hard to play, but really fun. And the main mode of the game, like Jordan was saying, it's called challenge mode, and the goal is to get to level 100. And every like 5 to 10 levels, the song will switch. You'll get a new level, and that's the only way to unlock all the levels in the game is to get to them in this challenge mode. And so I have gotten to level 97. So I've seen almost every song in the challenge mode. I think there's a few more you can unlock with some of the extra modes, but they also have like a puzzle mode where it's like, try to make this shape out of blocks.
What? Is it still timed?
No, but it's like the puzzle pieces are still just falling. And so it's like you've got to leave some, but create cubes to remove others to make like the shape of like a little balloon animal dog or something. Or like make a letter F or something. I don't know. It's crazy. There's another mode that's just a versus mode. You can do versus CPU or versus player. And the versus CPU mode is insanely difficult. I spent maybe an hour playing that. And it works the same way where you always start at level one. And as you win against the CPU, you get harder and harder CPUs. And there's 10 of them. And ooh. I got up to level 8, I think. And he was just kicking my rear every time. It was super hard. I did start getting better when I tried out the mission mode. Because they have a mission mode where it's like pre-generated scenarios. Where it's like, we're going to give you these three blocks. And here's the existing board. You have to clear the board in three moves. And that was fantastic to teach me how to play the game better, because it taught me little tricks about like how you can rotate the blocks so they'll fall and like combo off of each other.
Very nice.
So that was really good to learn the game. And then I went back into the challenge mode and was doing much, much better after playing the mission mode. This afternoon, for the first time, I tried the versus mode with Marion. So we played against each other, and it was just a ball of fun. It was super fun to go back and forth, because basically you have the game board and it's cut in half. And as one player starts doing better, they overtake the area of their opponent. And so if you're doing poorly, you go from having like 9 lanes to drop your pieces in to having only like 4 lanes. And so it's a lot harder to get combos. It's a lot harder to survive. And if you suddenly like get a big combo and you start coming back, you'll start retaking area of the board. So it's like a push and pull kind of thing. But every round was super fast.
Is this similar to how Puyo Puyo is played, or is that a completely different concept?
Very similar, yeah. The fact of you're trying to get blocks of 4 and they fall with gravity, that it's very, very similar. The way you actually get squares and what counts as a square is slightly different. And Marion's played a lot of Puyo Puyo when she played Puyo Puyo Tetris. So
yeah, they actually made a second one. Did you hear that?
Yes, I've been looking at that actually. Marion wants it. It just came out.
It did
just come out. Nose tap. That's been a lot of my week has been Lumines. The music is weird. It's like, it's not like any other music game I've played. Like, it's not music I would just go like listen to outside of the game. It's very game specific. And some of them are just strange. Like one of them is called Take Dog Out a Walk. And the background just has like a real dog just like walking around, and all the pieces turn into little paw prints. And there's just like weird barking noises. There's another one that's like it gives you like a fake action movie poster in the background, and all of the sound effects as you like rotate the blocks are like gunshots and explosions.
Oh my.
It's very strange, but very fun. Lumines remastered for the Switch. I'm having a blast with it. I'll keep playing it for sure.
Very interesting. That I can tell you that much. That is not my kind of game.
Really?
But let me tell you. Yeah, Tetris, Puyo Puyo. I think I'm just bad at them, you know, and I don't really like games that I'm bad at.
So do you have any of the experience of just like the zoning out and just like chilling? And
no,
there's definitely a mind, like you can feel your mind slip into like a well where it's like, this is all I'm thinking about and I'm just completely focused. It's very zen. It's awesome.
I think that's a great way of describing me when I'm playing Adventure Capitalist. But you don't really have to think for that one. It's just watching the ticker until it gets up to the number you want it to be and then purchasing it. Yeah.
How does this... I know you've been spending a lot of time with Girlfriend of the Podcast and her family, and I know that they're not necessarily like into the same kind of games we are. How do they take to Adventure Capitalist? What do they think about this concept?
I might have gotten her brother into it. And when I go over, he's telling me about how many angels he's got, how he's doing on the moon. And I'm like, yeah, dude.
You're like, been there, done that.
Adventure capitalism, am I right?
Is this his first clicker?
It might be. Or maybe it might not be. I don't remember. But unfortunately, he's playing the superior version on Steam.
On Steam?
Yes. Yeah, he started with the browser, and then he switched over to the Steam one because the browser, you know, you delete your cache or your cookies, and there goes all your progress.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, but because he's playing, like, an updated version of it, he gets all the events, and they stopped support for the PS4 version, like, 4 years ago. So he's like, yeah, I'm playing through the event, and I'm like, I don't get the events! I want to play the Adventure Capitalist events!
And you're just dedicated to not redoing it on phone?
I am so dedicated. Yeah, I already beat it on phone 4 years ago. Like, I'm good. The only reason I've started playing again on PS4 is because it has trophies, you know? And I like having the trophies. So okay. Once I get the trophies, I'll be done, and I'll be happy.
I feel like you've almost made up for calling them achievements last week.
Yeah, I know. I've made so certain to say trophies this time. You know what? You know what I did pick up on my phone, though?
What's that?
Adventure Communism.
Oh, no.
Or Communist.
Okay.
Same people.
I would assume. Similar,
similar concept, just a few different gameplay tweaks.
I've seen this. No. I think I downloaded this once. This is the one where you have to spend... You can't just spend money. You have to actually spend some of the things you've purchased to buy the newer things,
yes,
right?
It's like a ladder effect where it's like you spend what the one above it is earning for you.
Yeah.
And it goes like all the way up.
Yes. That is very similar to Kitten's Game.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
There's some similar concepts in Kitten's Game. These are all idle or incremental games where, if you guys aren't familiar with it as listeners, that's where you kind of have... It's mostly presented in like text or images. It's not like a game you're actively playing, but you're spending this currency you get in the game on things that will generate more currency. And so it's kind of like a math game, but without a lot of math. it's like a strategic purchasing and waiting game. You kind of wait for your resources to build up and spend them on things that get you more resources. It's this very base level reward effect that you get over and over again. They're really fun.
Is the official cookie clicker game on iOS?
They might have.
Is that the one? Is it cookie clickers or cookie clicker?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
but because the original one was on browser,
that was like the most popular one for incremental clickers. So if you've heard of them, you've probably heard of cookie clicker.
That was just
a browser game.
The first big one. There was a few other ones that came before it. Like there's one where you clicked on cows, and then there's a candy game that was in the browser that I played that was a clicker. But Cookie Clicker was the first big one, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Cool.
Fun games. Fun games, so simple.
Mm-hmm. I've been, besides Lumines, I have been playing some more Dragon's Dogma. I gotta say, I've gone really back and forth with that game. I really, really liked it, and I told you my whole Fellowship of the Rings adventure story last week. It started getting a little too easy, because I was going out and like exploring and doing all the side content and over leveling for the game, which I usually do. So I knew that would happen. Mm-hmm. So I was like a max level assassin, like one shotting everything. And so I got rid of all my AI companions. I was just playing solo. And I started doing things just to make it like not purposely doing things to make it harder on myself, but like taking on the harder challenges right away. And that kind of made it some more fun. I think I got a little bit too lost in exploring like the whole map when I should have been focusing more on doing quests that would have sent me to all of the places I needed to go. So I've started to do more of the mainline story. The other thing I've been doing is once you acquire all the skills possible for a given class in that game, you can switch classes and start over and you keep your same level. So your character level goes up regardless of what class you are.
So I like that.
The only thing is when you level up, the stats you gain depend on the class you have. So if you spent the whole game as one class, you'll get a lot of that class's stats by the time you level up. If I spend some time as like a wizard and then switch over to an assassin, by the time I'm high level, I'll have kind of evenly balanced magic and attack stats, basically. So whatever kind of character you want to play, you do want to level up as them a whole lot. But I've been switching between all of the like fast attacking thief and assassin classes, and I just maxed out both of those, so now I'm doing the like uses a big sword and big warrior skills character, and I'm trying to get those abilities all acquired, and then I'll switch back to the assassin for later in the game once it becomes harder. But
very nice. So does that add a lot of replayability, or is that Would you say that adds?
No, because it's all the same character.
Okay.
It's all the same story. It's just like, right now I can parry attacks and do a double jump and do a dodge roll and slash real fast. And then I switch over to a warrior. Same character, same quest, same items and everything. But now I have a shield and I can block and I can taunt
enemies. It just makes it so you're not locked into a certain play style.
Right.
And, okay, cool.
And the experience points you get to level up are different than the experience points you spend on acquiring skills. So you have experience points and discipline points. And so, like, you need your discipline points to get the skills for your class, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been cool. I've taken on a lot of the big animals. Like, the boss fights are definitely the most fun parts, like fighting chimeras or griffins and all these, or ogres. All these big monsters are super fun.
Yep, like you do.
Like I do. But I ended up coming back and having a lot more fun with it when I stopped playing my like, fully leveled up assassin class. I switched to what's inherently kind of like a lower damage, more defensive class, and I reinvited a bunch of the NPCs back into my world. Like, running in a party of four people and, like, all attacking a boss all at once just felt more fun. So I'm going to keep playing it. I did have more fun, but there was, like, a slow period where I was like, maybe I don't like this game as much as I thought I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
That's all I have to say on Dragon's Dogma.
Very nice. That was on Switch, right? That's a Switch game?
The one I got is, yes, though I imagine it would be really fun on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, I think it was originally like a 360 game and a PS3.
Oh, wow.
Game. What's been going on with you?
Not a lot of big things, honestly, like, or new things, I should say, you know, Adventure Capitalist, been playing that, been ranking up my Hearthstone Battle Pass or whatever they call it, Tavern Pass.
Okay.
Which, enough grumpy people, did I mention this already? Enough grumpy people didn't like it, so they're actually, like, revamping, like, almost the, like, huge, huge things about it.
Whoa.
Huge, huge changes, because nobody liked the way that they did it. So, when those changes come through, I think I'll jump from, like, level 37 to, like, it being done with it, basically.
Whoa.
Is they're taking away, like, 37,000 worth of XP from it.
Wow.
Which will just bump me up to the end. So that'll be fun. Gonna get big rewards for that.
That's cool.
You know, I've been playing a little bit of Bloons Tower Defense, as usual.
Back to Bloons.
Yes, been doing my Fortnite grinding.
Okay.
Which has been fun.
Okay.
Sometimes. Sometimes I'll leave it, you know, AFK in the creative zone to level up my battle pass.
Have you started getting into the building yet? Are you still staunchly against the building?
Yes, I am. I've gotten second place, I think, like, 7 times.
Whoa.
I get second place a lot. And here's what happens. I get to the end. You know, I'm doing so good. I'm feeling so good. I have, like, a team with me, and we're all doing so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know that cliche thing that movies do where, say, picture, like, a desert, and there's, like, a town, and you see this big, like, desert, like, wave coming across it?
Like a sandstorm?
Like a sandstorm. Yeah, sandstorm. So, like, imagine that, but instead of a sandstorm, it's a hotel, you know? So you get to the end and you're like, there's one team left. And instead of seeing a team, you just see a building coming at you because they're building so freaking fast. And before you can do anything, you and your whole team are dead to, like, half of theirs. And that is just so... It's just so frustrating to get excited about a win, and then you don't even see the player. You just see wall, ceiling, wall, stairs, ceiling, boom, you're dead. And I'm just like, what?
So they're just using the building as like an approach tunnel? Like,
yes, which is, you know, it's a strategic thing to do. It's the way you're supposed to play the game, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's unfortunate that you can't turn off crossplay because I assume that these are all PC players. And I have no choice but to... What?
Not necessarily, but maybe.
Well, you can't turn off crossplay, so I am playing against PC players. If you try to turn it off, it actually doesn't let you queue up for matches, which I didn't realize was a thing, because I was like, I just want to play against other controller people. But no, it says, sorry, you can't queue up for anything.
So they have the option, but it doesn't do anything?
Yes. Yep. I think you can queue up to, like, the lesser... game modes, but if you're doing, like, the solos, or maybe you can do it in solos, but if you're doing duos or three people or four people, it says, sorry, in order to play this game, you had to turn back on crossplay.
That's bizarre. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I would do better if I just played against console people, but I don't have that option.
Huh. Well, if you enjoy playing it, how's your Mandalorian armor doing? I know you got like one shoulder pad.
It's doing good. Did I mention what level I'm at?
No.
Of my battle pass? I'm at 47. So
out of what?
About 100.
Okay.
About halfway there. Yeah, it's going pretty well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they've been, man, let me tell you, the skins and the emotes in that game are just so good. They're just
high quality, top notch.
So stinking good. It makes me so upset that they're in Fortnite, because I want them in a game that I'm good at, but I'm not good at Fortnite.
You could get good.
I don't want to get good because you have to build stuff. But oh man, they have like a Christmas chorus emote where if everyone does it, like that you're all like singing along different parts of the song. They have like vehicle emotes where you spawn a vehicle and you go really slowly in order to make it not, you know, it's not a mount, it's an emote.
Right.
But you're like in a little vehicle and that's the emote. And oh my goodness, they're so good. They added, you know, the Game Awards was this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent you the tweet to this. They added Master Chief from, you know, Xbox.
That's right.
Games as a pack you can buy where you get his skin, you get like one of the main ships from Halo as your glider.
Mm-hmm.
You get a what are the cars called? Piggies, Oinkles, Oinkies, Hogs, Roadhogs,
Warthogs.
Warthogs. Yes. You get a warthog emote where you sit in the little car and you're just like chugging along. So you can get like the whole Master Chief bundle and
guys,
like
hop in the Oinky, we gotta go.
Yes, the Oinky vehicle.
The Oinky. Alright, cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. Man, their skins are just so good. And that's like a week after they added Kratos. Like, who's coming next week? I've heard there's rumors of them adding Samus. Huh. Like, it only makes sense for them to do a Switch exclusive character now, because for Kratos, if you play it on PlayStation, you get a different skin for Kratos.
Mm-hmm.
And if you play on Xbox with Master Chief, you get a different skin option for him. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have the game on Switch, so I'm assuming at I don't know, maybe next week they'll have a Samus bundle, and then if you play it on Switch, you'll get a different customization for that.
That'd be cool. I had a conversation the day after we recorded last week's episode, and you were telling me about Fortnite with, I believe it's a 10-year-old and like a 15-year-old
mm-hmm.
about Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to tell you this, Jordan, but it turns uh-huh. out Fortnite used to be good, but now it sucks. I don't know if you know this.
Oh. Okay, let me delete it real quick then. All sorry, right, cool. I didn't. Hold on. I didn't get that memo.
Yeah,
was there
I'm
like
sorry.
An email service that I need to sign up for somewhere?
No. You just have to talk to the kids at my church.
Okay,
but
okay.
Apparently, like season 9 and 10 are like real bad or something like that. Anyways, I just thought you should know. I thought you'd want to know.
Okay, hold on. I typed in "is Fortnite" into Google, and the first result is Fortnite dead? Let's see.
What's the answer?
I'm seeing how many players it has, concurrent players. Because it sounds like it's a dead game.
I mean, if
honestly.
It's bad, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when has adding Master Chief ever made something better, right?
Right. I can't find my answer fast enough, you so know, I maybe.
But even better than... sorry, I spaced out for a second. Even better than Samus, what if they added Sephiroth next week?
To Fortnite.
I mean, it's worked out well so far for Smash Bros.
Uh-huh.
As I don't know if you know this, Jordan, but the newest character for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the newest DLC character, is Sephiroth.
It is. It's the slayer of Mario himself.
The one-winged angel. The man who stabbed Mario on camera.
I can't believe they got away with that.
That was brutal. It reminded me of when they killed Luigi.
Yes, there you go. Oh wait, they actually did kill Luigi though, didn't they? Like he had a ghost.
Well, they tweeted right? that he was fine though, because everyone was worried about Luigi.
Oh, I thought he actually came back as a ghost in that video.
He popped up in the video as a ghost, and then later they were like, "Don't worry, he's fine." I don't know how that works, but
technology.
Yeah, he got scared to death by the Castlevania trailer. Smash Bros. Sephiroth is coming.
Smash Bros. New character unveiled at the Game Awards. First thing.
Let me tell you, if you like sword characters and you want the longest stinking sword that they've ever put in, as far as I can tell, I don't know if that's officially the longest sword they've ever put in, but it looks real long. Looks like that man can bop you from real far away.
He do a slice.
I don't think I've played that game since they put in Min Min. I haven't played this season of DLC characters at all. I feel kind of bad. But
that is weird.
It is kind of weird.
I guess not, because you only like playing with people.
I'll sit down and just play on my own sometimes. I don't really play online
apparently
with strangers. Well, okay, I've played it a handful of times since Min Min, but not online. And so I don't have her, and so I don't even know what she's like.
So what do you play?
Just against CPUs or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or like if I have friends or something and I want to play with people, I'll play in a group setting like that. But I don't own any of the new characters, so I haven't played with Min Min or with Minecraft Steve. Now with Sephiroth. I'm kind of waiting to get the pack. I think I will get the pack. I really want to play with Steve at some point. It was just when he came out, it was a bad time to spend $30 on Smash Bros. Characters. But I'll pick it up. I'll try them all out. The cool thing is, then I'll get them all at once and be like, mind blown, all these cool
characters.
So much
content. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know this. We watched the unveil together. I was not too big of a fan of another JRPG sword fighting character. But I mean, look, I got Steve as the last character. I honestly, if they just do Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, Final Fantasy, Tigai Unchu Bapu Bobbidi Boo characters for the next three characters, then I still got Steve. So
do you want to like go back a little bit there and maybe
no? Explain. I tried to think of other JRPG names, and so I tried to make up one.
Explain
and it really,
anything you just said in any context that was appropriate.
It really did not work. I was trying to think. What's that one game? Tingai Gocho, Jingi Hocho Boko.
No,
you know the one.
No, I don't know the
Tingai
one.
Tingai Jingu Ucho.
Are you talking about the Dragon Ball game that you played with me like 5-6 years ago? More
what's
than
it
that?
Called?
Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 2.
That's the one! Yes! Budokai Inki Jukubo!
The characters in that game all sound like Dragon Ball characters because they're Chocobo. Dragon Ball characters.
Dude, if they added a Dragon Ball character, I would actually be excited for that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
So down for a
I don't
Dragon
even
Ball
care
character.
Which one it would be. If I just recognize it as a Dragon Ball character, I'd be like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's a really cool addition.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the obvious one would be Goku, and if there's any chance to get Goku in Smash Bros., it's because this year, well, supposed to be next year still, the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, where the mascot of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, I don't know if you know this, but it is Goku, which
oh my goodness.
Is kind of amazing. So, sign my petition, Goku for Smash, available on Twitter.
Goku for Smash.
Oh my goodness, but it would be amazing if it was someone else. My wife is suggesting Krillin, which would be beautiful.
No
just
idea
beautiful.
Who that is.
I know you don't, but the people know
the
Krillin.
People know that's what's important.
Krillin's the short guy who's bald most of the time he's bald.
Okay, there you go.
He grew his hair once and became a dad.
Relatable, honestly. Yeah, at some point relatable.
At some point relatable.
Probably.
Okay. So there's some Smash Bros. I've talked a lot about what I have been playing. I mentioned Hades. I don't have more to say on that, but I continue to play it. I continue to beat it. I think I'm getting close to 100%ing it. Like, there's more and more of the like challenges of like get every upgrade from this god or beat the game with every version of this weapon. And I'm starting to kind of check those off, complete that kind of stuff. There's like a prestige system at a certain point where the long-term currencies that as you play the game, you build up and you buy upgrades and stuff with, when you run out of upgrades to buy, they give you a way to like dump huge amounts of them into just upgrading like a badge icon. So you get like cooler and cooler looking badges that show you've been playing for a while.
Oh, that's nice.
But they don't have any impact on the game. So like I've unlocked that system, which is pretty cool. You should still play Hades.
Does that have a limit? Like, is it possible to get all the badges?
I don't know. I imagine it would be pretty hard because you have to spend a long time, like lots of runs building up the currency to buy even the first badge upgrade. I've only afforded one badge upgrade, so that's crazy.
I'm just thinking of when inevitably the completionist does a video on Hades.
I don't.
I mean, he'll try to get all the badges.
Yeah, probably. I almost feel kind of bad because in my head I was like, I'll play it, and then when they introduce cross saves later this year, which they still say is coming out this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy it on PC because I'd love to play it on PC. I love the way it looks and sounds. I'd love to play it with my full setup and my headphones and everything, and not using the crummy Switch controller. But at this point, I think I might run out of stuff to do to buy it on PC.
Like, sounds like it.
It's a good game. You should play it. I will say nothing more about Hades, even though it's amazing. I didn't watch the Game Awards. I'm assuming it won a bunch of awards because it deserved all of them.
I did not watch it either. I had plans that night, unfortunately. I was really looking forward to watching them.
Do you want me to spoil how many things it won?
Sure.
All right. It was...
Yes.
It was only a nominee. It did not win Game of the Year, Performance, what? Art Direction, Score, Narrative, or Studio/Game Direction. But it did get nominated for all six of those categories. It did win Best Action Game and Best Independent Game of the Year.
Cool.
Absolutely. So that is what I've been playing. What else have you been doing?
Well, also announced at the Game Awards was the Among Us update. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
Yes, they showed off the new map, a new spaceship themed map with ladders.
Whoa.
You can go up and down ladders. There's going to be new skins, and I think the new skins change your death animation or the murder animation. They showed off a laser death animation, which looked amazing from a character wearing like an eye laser thing. So that looks really cool. It might just be on the new map. They might bring it to all of them, but they announced you will get to choose which room you start in after you vote someone off. After meetings. Oh,
like, but so, is that the room that everyone spawns in?
No. Like, each person individually gets to choose where they start.
Each time?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, yep. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so that's huge for, like, strategy thing. I'm just picturing, like, two people, like, the imposter and someone else are like, we're gonna start here! And it's like, okay, sweet! And then just kill them, you know?
Right.
I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of those things. I think that was a general overview of the update, you know?
That's new pretty map, cool.
A few new mechanics.
Can we just stop and appreciate that we live in a world where, with everything going on in 2020, a game like Among Us is what we're talking about from the Game Awards? Like,
what, just like a mobile, random mobile game?
Can you imagine not having played Among Us, Jordan, and you sit down to watch the Game Awards, and some dude comes up and starts talking about Among Us, and then they show gameplay of Among Us. Like, what would you have said? Because I'm pretty sure you would have been like, what am I even looking at? Why am I looking at this stupid game?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, I know. Probably.
Like, but we live in a world where you and I are both like, oh, Among Us content at the Game Awards? Heck yeah!
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all just super pumped up about it. I think
there's also, like, moving platforms that you have to wait to go across.
Kind of like the seal rooms from the third map.
Yeah, a little bit. But, yeah, that's coming out early next year.
Interesting. So. I want to know if they're going to update the doors in the first map. Because everyone just plays the first map, right? I want to know if they're going to update the doors so that they can all be turned on and off independently without changing your other sabotages like they are on the later maps. Because no one ever uses the doors.
That's right. Yeah, I certainly don't use the doors. I can't and think fast enough on...
I can't use the doors because nobody else in our group uses the doors. So if I start using
the
doors,
it's Daniel.
Everybody knows immediately that it's me. So I never use the doors because I'm like not allowed to because of the game strategy. What a weird game.
Yeah. It's a good game, and it's a game that I can still play because I don't need my graphics card for it. However, they did ship it. It's finally coming in. I think in 2 or 3 days, I'm getting my graphics card back.
Woo, you can be producer of the podcast again. Woo.
Thank goodness. And just in time, because I want to play Minecraft with ray tracing.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned this to me earlier today, and I was like super confused because hasn't that already been a thing for a while?
Probably as a mod. It is officially in the game as of this week.
Okay. That sounds cool.
In the Windows 10 edition. So you can still play with other people on their phones or their console.
Yours is just going to be significantly better looking.
Absolutely. Yours is just going to be heckin' gorgeous. And I am so excited. Like, honestly, when I got the card, I was like, what ray tracing game do I care about, you know, that I'll be like, ooh, this looks nice. I'm like, Minecraft. I want to play Minecraft
number one
with the sun rays, and I'm good. So I finally get to do that.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Cool.
Other than that, just I haven't been doing much else. Overwatch is getting its Christmas event in a few days, 3 days.
Okay. Do we know anything about it?
No, probably just more recycled content. Other than
the Christmas
skins.
Christmas was the one event though where they did actually add two unique game modes, because there was the maze snowball fight and the Yeti hunting, which I loved. The Yeti hunting, I loved. Yeah. The Yeti hunting.
Yeah, could you play that as with friends? I don't remember if we could queue up.
You
to that.
You can queue up as friends, but it locks you always to the May team. You can never be the solo Yeti player.
That's right. Okay.
Which, yeah. Knowing the Overwatch team, they do adapt stuff a lot, so I wouldn't be surprised if they got complaints about that and changed it. I haven't played in a year. Like, I haven't played
in
a long time.
They probably did that to avoid people abusing it for the achievements. If you could queue up with your friend.
That's possible. Also, Blizzard has something weird about playing against your friends ever. Like, you're never allowed to play against your friends in any official mode. It's only in custom modes. I don't get it. Super strange.
Yeah. Very strange. But that's exciting. That's coming this week. Because Christmas is wonderful. And, Christmas also came to Animal Crossing this week.
Okay, tell me more.
It started snowing in Animal Crossing, I think, a couple days ago.
Has it never snowed in Animal Crossing?
And it is wonderful.
Has it never snowed in Animal Crossing before? Like, even if you lived somewhere where it was cold in the summer?
Well, yeah, if you had a southern island, it snowed in the summer.
Oh, okay. So it's not like added snow for Christmas.
No. Yeah. But for all the northern players who don't time travel, the first time has been a few days ago. And it's wonderful. I'm building snowmen. I caught a dung beetle because... You know, dung beetles and snow go together like tacos and freshly cut grass. So that's nice. Finally caught all the bugs.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. There was a new, not really exploit, but there was a new strategy recently discovered for the game where for all of the seasonal events, if you wanted the recipes for the event, you had to... You could only get the recipes from balloons, which might spawn every 5 minutes.
Okay.
And have an abysmal drop rate for the recipes.
Okay.
So you've got to farm the heck out of balloons.
Okay.
But recently people realized that if you just build a wall of jail bars or rock climbing gyms, just like... in a line down your island, balloons can't fly over them, but they have to keep going. So they'll fly to wherever the gap is and then keep going.
So you just stand there and farm them that way?
Exactly, yeah. So you can just stand... Usually, the way you'd have to do it is every 5 minutes, you'd have to run up and down your island, being like, is there a balloon I might miss? No? Okay. Because they don't always happen. So it's like, did I miss it? Or did I...
Is there just not happening?
There just wasn't one.
Yeah.
It was so annoying. So I'm... so happy that this has been discovered. I did it immediately, and I'm trying to get there's so many Christmas recipes, and I gotta get all the Christmas recipes.
So you have like your little balloon alleyway that everything funnels through.
Yes, my wonderful clean island, and then just on the left side there's just jail bars down the entire side of the island, and I do not care.
I thought balloons were right to left.
They change. It's left to right at night and then right to left at the daytime.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very good. All right.
Yep.
So
that about sums up my gaming week.
Cool. Not much else I've played that I want to talk about. I'm going to call out, last week we mentioned the December Humble Bundle. It's actually a pretty good one. We skipped a lot this year on the Humble Bundles, but not the Humble Bundle, the Humble Choice Bundle, the subscription service. But both Jordan and I, on the post-recording stream last week, purchased this month's bundle. So we've got Children of Morta, Overcooked 2, whole bunch of other stuff on there that we're looking forward to. And also, Epic Games is still doing their free games every week. They have not confirmed if that's continuing on into 2021. So hold on to it while it lasts. But what I will say is that last year, they hit us with some wonderful freebies during Christmas, during their 12 Days of Christmas event, and they are currently sitting with a mystery game for tomorrow, and tomorrow, from the day we're recording, is going to be the 12th day until Christmas. So the event probably starts tomorrow. You're probably looking between Sunday, the what would that be? Sunday the 13th through the rest of the month until Christmas, a free game every day from Epic if they repeat what they did last year. So we are not going to be here on the podcast every day to tell you about it, but we'll bring it up next week to remind you. In the meantime, check out the Epic Game Store every day, find out what that free game is if they're doing the event again, and enjoy. I wanted to
correction real quick. That starts on Thursday. The 15 days of free games starts December 17th.
So they have already announced that they are doing it starting from the 17th going...
Yes, 15 days of free games starting in 4 days. Or no, today's Monday, so starting in 2-3 days.
Okay, I was wrong.
Yes.
I was thinking of the 12 days of Christmas, but this is from the second half of the month all the way till the end of the year then.
Yep. Yeah, but it's 15 days too instead of 12. So 15 free games once a day. This is free game. You add it to your account. It's basically you're purchasing it for $0. This isn't some trial thing. So be sure to log in to your Epic account to get that free game added to your account permanently for free. One every day. Once the day goes to the next one, the old one's gone. You got to buy it at that point.
And
so very exciting.
And we might possibly be seeing the last free Epic games, because at the end of the year, that's the end of 2020. So all the way till the 31st would be the final game. Interesting. I wanted to call
Did they give away GTA 5 last year, or was that just another?
I don't remember when they did that. I think that was partway through this year. It was like a big event that they did it.
Okay.
I want to call out, just real random, a game I haven't played in years, but... Jordan, you remember Remnant from the Ashes we played earlier this year?
Yes, I do.
Very, very odd game, right? Very strange world and lore, that kind of thing. Well, It was a little familiar to me because the developers of that game, their previous game was called Chronos, and it was a game released on the Oculus Store for virtual reality. It was the one that I described. I think it came up on the podcast not too long ago, where it's like a action RPG, Dark Souls, but every time you die... A year passes and your character comes back a little older.
That's right. Yeah, I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was on the podcast or afterwards, but the other thing was it's in VR, right? So you're using a controller still. It plays like a Dark Souls game, but instead of seeing it through a screen, it's like you're sitting there in the room, and if your character goes into another room, you're suddenly in that next room watching them. So it's like you're watching an adventurer go through a series of rooms and tunnels, and they do some cool stuff with perspective. Like at one point you shrink down, and so it looks like you're a tiny person in a big cabinet of keys and boxes and stuff like that, and you're watching your guy run around this little room. So, and like when you fight a big boss, and you can imagine like how big some of those bosses get, it really does feel like you're looking at an enormous beast and you're seeing this little guy run around and you're controlling him. And really, really cool idea. They've released a non-VR version of it.
Like, what?
After all these years.
Whoa! That's awesome!
You can play a game called Chronos Before the Ashes, because it is a precursor to Remnant from the Ashes. And it's just that game. It's just that game, not in VR. It's out. You can buy it on Steam.
That's really cool.
I wanted to call it out because I thought that was cool.
How much is it?
I will check, but I believe it's like $40, which I think was what I paid for it when it originally came out in VR. It's $30. I was wrong. Chronos Before the Ashes is $30 on Steam right now. You can go buy it. I had some fun with it.
Very nice.
Yep, yep. That's kind of the end of my topics list. Did you have anything else before we jump into our question and answers?
I did not.
Sweet. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast listeners, you are coming into the best part of the podcast. This is the question and answer section. Here, we're going to be answering your questions live. So if you're listening to this podcast and you have a question about the life or the universe or your favorite food or your favorite house chore to accomplish, whatever your question is, you can send it in to patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to our Discord at patientplayers.com/discord, send us questions there, or ask us live in our live recording we do every weekend in Twitch. So we will be answering Twitch chat questions. Hello, Twitch chat. But I do believe we have an email to get us started. Would you take us away, Jordan?
Oh, sorry. Am I reading the email? I was not ready.
Would you like to read the email? I usually ask you to start. Well,
I can.
I'm the producer this week, so you got to do the Discord question. So let me take this email here.
Okay.
All right. This email comes in from one Jacketh Starhorn. I would assume this is another conduit for our longtime emailer K. But let's see. Sometimes we get some hacky trouble in from Hacker of the Podcast Keaton. Let's see what the story is this week. The email says, "It is day 3 of my journey through the Vexian Rift wormhole. You may have been wondering in my last update why I hadn't gotten up to look for my crewmates after a full 24 hours traveling through the rift. Well, first of all, we were instructed at the beginning of the experiment to not exit our seats, not to mention that the strange gravity in the wormhole makes it hard to move, and it would be especially dangerous to walk around the ship with all the turbulence. However, if I'm being completely honest, the real reason I haven't gotten up to explore the ship is because I'm scared. Everything about the situation is just not right. I can't logically explain any of the events that have happened to me over the past 3 days, and that cold and merciless feeling of the unknown terrifies me. And as if to push me ever deeper into the depths of my fear, I saw a question scrawled on the wall next to me that I swear wasn't there just a moment before, and this question said, 'What is your preferred method of game reveals? Do you like the yearly explosion of game announcements like at an E3 presentation? The smaller, more company-specific burst of announcements like in a Nintendo Direct, or perhaps the sudden and unexpected Twitter reveals of a single game? What do you think companies could do better with their game reveals?'" Fantastic story. Fantastic question as well, one Jacketh Starhorn. Do you have any preference on
game? Oh, is that how the email ends?
Yeah, that's the question, is the end of the email.
Oh, dang. I was hoping... I was really emotionally involved in the story of this guy and his ship. Like what he did after he saw the message.
I think you mean this real life tale of our listener who wanted to let us know about his traumatizing trip through the void.
Mm-hmm.
But also wanted to know about our preference in game reveals.
You know, having E3 every year has been like a tradition of mine since high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like 9 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago, watching it every year is just a blast. Obviously, it's harder for companies to all have like something to show. Like maybe they're working on a game and they need to, you know, they don't want to show it off. But it's just a big opportunity to show off your game because everyone's going to be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from like interviews that they prefer to be able to show things off at their own pace, like throughout the year, and that sometimes it can be a bit of a kind of a rush to get something out for E3.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I love E3. I love sitting down, watching a show, having like hosts talk about the announcements and stuff. I hate the Twitter drops. That is my least favorite form, which Nintendo loves to be doing these days. Here's Paper Mario. Here's
yeah, just Pikmin very suddenly. Deluxe. Here's a bunch of news that we know it's going to get out there.
Oh, a game. Oh, there you go, another game. It's like what? What if you don't have Twitter? Like, of all sites, like, why Twitter?
I mean, I don't really use Twitter, but I usually get the information because it trickles out from there to all the different...
Right.
If your game's big enough, it just gets out there no matter what.
But what a weird spot to start. Why not... I guess YouTube. They go up on YouTube at the same time the trailers do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I love having, like, presentation reveals... you know, I was so sad when Nintendo stopped doing E3 presentations, and they kind of inspired a lot of other companies to also do that, and that was sad. But again, it made more sense for them as a company to not plan their entire, you know, announcement schedule around 1 week of the year.
They also had some pretty rough live demos. I remember like Skyward Sword had the Wiimote stop working and like all this stuff, and so it's like why deal with all of that jank when you can just throw out a video that you edited to look nice,
right?
You know,
yeah. This is what the final version is going to look like when it works.
Plus, without the pre-recorded Nintendo Directs, we would have never gotten the Nintendo and Robot Chicken crossover, which was one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
What?
Yeah, don't you remember that?
Like official crossover?
Yeah, there was one E3 where their Nintendo Direct, the little like skits they had between all of the events were Robot Chicken. Remember they had like
the
puppet year where there was like the puppet Miyamoto and the
yeah I do remember that
puppet
yeah,
Iwata
yeah.
and all that and the puppet Reggie. There was another year where it was all Robot Chicken skits and it was like kind of funny. I mean they were clean because it was Nintendo, so it wasn't like
I must
adult.
Have missed that year.
Very strange,
weird.
I think I do prefer the big E3 rush of game reveals, but I prefer that for the first time you ever hear about a game. Like, I love being like, whoa, I can't believe they're working on this project, or this game's coming back, or this sequel's coming, or whatever. I'm so excited. I'm jazzed. I get to hear people, you know, screaming about it. Maybe you get like a fancy reveal trailer. I don't necessarily like that as much for the big, long gameplay reveals. Like,
yeah, yes.
Like, I liked that when they announced Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor for the first time, that came with like 10, 15 minutes of gameplay. And that was so cool to sit at home and watch and be like, oh, I'm really excited for this game. Mm-hmm. But when, like, I mean, I loved Metal Gear Solid 5. I played that game. I really loved it. I did not love watching like 10 to 15 minutes of someone walking through a desert with a horse in Metal Gear Solid 5. And I hate I absolutely cannot stand any press conference. Ubisoft is horrible at this. They do it all the time with the fake friend chat where it's like, oh man, I got your six. Like, I'm going to go in from behind and flank that dude, bro.
Yes, dude.
I cannot stand those. So, like,
I love that. Ubisoft all the way.
I hate
because
it.
Because they suck.
I hate it. I would.
Oh.
I'd rather you get up on stage and be like, Microsoft does some cool stuff that's not even game reveals, right? They're like, boom, Game Pass this, boom, backwards compatibility that, boom. Like, they're just, we bought this developer. Like, that's big news. Mm-hmm. I like celebrating about new, brand new news. I don't like getting, like, detailed info about a game live on the stage. I'd rather that be something different.
Yeah. Put that in a tweet. Like, hey, we announced this at E3. You know, it's been a few months. Here's, like, a real trailer.
Yeah.
And the 15 minutes of gameplay that y'all want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love that. I would love that more often.
Man.
Good question. You know,
around June, I remember texting my buds that I would always watch E3 with, and I said, you know what? 2020 actually did bring something good. E3 did not have an Ubisoft event, because they couldn't, because there's no E3. I was like, wow, this is what it took to get Ubisoft off the stage, to get them from doing another Just Dance segment where everyone's in panda costumes and they're all like, buy Just Dance, la da da da.
I mean, people like that somewhere.
Oh yeah, Just Dance is fun. They don't need to do a musical number at E3. Holy smokes. And they did it every single year.
But it's got you talking about it right now, so somebody did their job somewhere.
It worked.
You've been marketed on.
Dang it.
Alrighty. Alright, I think that is it for our emails this week, but I do believe we have something in our Discord channel. Will you take that away, Jordan?
We do indeed. The first question from the Questionnaire of Brilliance. What are your thoughts on the failed availability of the PS5? What do you think went wrong, and do you think it'll help sales in the new year? We have talked about this quite a bit in the past few weeks, actually.
Yes, with your purchase of the PlayStation 5 and your failure to purchase...
Purchase.
Your original failure to purchase.
I still cannot believe happened. Like, I have a relic on my desk. A relic. It is like, I feel like I should put it in like a glass case. These things are so rare. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't... Something tells me this happens often enough that I don't think it was an accident. Like, I don't think it was a failure. I think that you underproduce at first on purpose, because the people who ravenously want one are going to still ravenously want one when you produce one later. Like, I don't think you're missing out on that many sales. I really don't. I think someone's done the math and that they produced the amount that they meant to. Now, here's the thing. They did talk about how manufacturing was impacted by the pandemic. So, like, in that sense, they probably wished they could have produced a little bit more than they wanted to, and maybe the amount of difficulty people have in finding one is a little higher than Sony intended, but I don't think, even without a pandemic, I don't think we'd be sitting here with everyone able to get a PS5
absolutely.
That wants
they're,
to.
Like, they're just everywhere. Run to Walmart and there's one. Yeah,
I don't
I
think there was any world in which that happened, and I think that's on purpose. I would not call it a failure.
Yeah, but I also would definitely say that they're rarer than they should be, given how much people are willing to spend to get one from scalpers and how much money is being transacted apart from Sony that I'm sure they would love to have a piece of. And we've talked about ways that how they could have gotten a piece of that. Maybe offer you know, a launch console for more expensive,
right,
just a higher price that people would still be willing to pay, because people are willing to pay so much to get one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Excellent question. Excellent question.
Well, our next question, from Pizza Z Spaz.
Pizza of the podcast.
It says this comment is targeted specifically to make Jordan sad.
Oh no.
I don't see why. It says pizza rolls or chicken nuggets.
Because you have to choose between one
There's
of them.
There's no competition with this question. I don't understand why this is supposed to make me sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is pizza rolls the winner?
No.
No.
You kidding me? Pizza rolls, they're like baby Hot Pockets. Who loves Hot Pockets?
I think they're all right.
Yeah, exactly. Hot Pockets are all right. Pizza rolls are basically little baby Hot Pockets. They're good. Don't get me wrong. I had some. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Chicken nugs? Great stuff. You put some barbecue sauce in your chicken nugs. You can put some ranch on your chicken nugs. Mm-hmm. You can put some ketchup on your chicken nugs. If you're like me, you can put some mayonnaise on your chicken nugs.
See, I'm glad you went there because my next question for you was, would you rather give up mayonnaise or chicken nuggets?
What do you mean?
Just like for life. You have to put this away from you.
Chicken nuggets. I would give up chicken nuggets.
Okay.
Because mayonnaise can go on a lot of things. Chicken nuggets are just, you know, one food.
But a lot of things can go on chicken nuggets.
But no, it has to be the other way around, where you need to say chicken nuggets can go on a lot of things, which isn't really true. I mean, they could, actually. You can put chicken nuggets on pizza rolls.
Yeah, there you go. This is the next adventure you need to have, is what can I put chicken nuggets on?
What a weird question. We get another question from Questioner Your Brilliance on that same topic. Is pizza rolls or folded pizza slice?
Ooh, I feel like any pizza that is of a quality in which I'm going to fold it is good. I don't need the pizza roll.
100% agree.
Yeah. Like,
another clear winner.
Crappy pizza and pizza rolls are probably more on even style, but like fancy pizza that's like New York style, you're going to fold it up and get all the toppings in there. That's going to be higher quality every time.
Yeah, good stuff. If you're eating a pizza like a taco, that's a good pizza. Or you're in a rush.
Yep.
And then our last question is another double from Miranda. Look at that. Out of the blue, no email, but she made it into the Discord question. Number one is, which game is your favorite as far as events go? Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your definition of earlobes?
What is my definition of earlobes? Well, I'm sure we will get to that once we discuss our favorite games. I'm assuming this is going to be like games as a service games, right? Like live service games that do events. What's our favorite?
I guess so.
Because there are some games that will have events, like old Animal Crossing games would have events that occur that were just built into the game. Right.
Right. I wouldn't call that an event. I would call that just a gameplay mechanic at that point.
Okay. So these are specifically like games as a service events.
Yeah. Let's say you need to be online to experience it. And then when it's done, it's gone.
It's wiped out.
That's a tricky one.
That's really a tricky one. Trying to think through everything. I mean, like, all the way back to, I'm thinking when I was, like, in elementary school playing RuneScape, and it was like, oh, man, I got the Halloween mask, and now, like, 15 years later, it's worth, like, $150 because...
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Everyone wants it. And then there's stuff like Overwatch or Team Fortress.
I was expecting you to say Team Fortress. Man, you loved like the Halloween stuff in Team Fortress when that first came out, and the mask you can get from the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, I feel like that stuff was the first one was great. It was a lot like Overwatch, honestly. Like the first time it happens, it's awesome. But they do like the Holoscream events where they have like boss fights. Boss fights in Team Fortress was just such a cool idea, and the map they added was cool. But after doing it every year, I mean, the newer bosses were... They added new mechanics and everything, but I was just not as into it at that point. So I'm trying to think of one where I'm always excited. And everything kind of ranks evenly for me. Like, Overwatch was great the first time around. Team Fortress was great the first time around.
That was so cool the first time around.
I've only experienced one, but, like, the Monster Hunt event was, like, cool... Because, like, this isn't my pick or anything, but the only Monster Hunter event we did was, like, the summer one where everything was decorated all, like, hula dancers and tikis and all this stuff. And the funniest moment, though, was because we were working through the Iceborne DLC in the snowy island, right? So everyone's dressed up in, like, these full suit parka and cold gear. And there was a very important storyline cutscene where there's a character, your handler, the female character that you spend a lot of the game with, was, like, running around in this icy mountain, but the game had swapped her character model for the event, so you're standing in, like, a snowy blizzard on a mountain, and she's in, like, a tiki bikini. That was so funny.
That's good stuff.
I'm trying to think any other events that really stand out.
I like the way you phrased it. The one that gets you excited every single time. I feel like I had to say still Overwatch because the skins are cool, or Heroes of the Storm because also the skins are cool.
That's true.
Yeah.
I might break our rule a little bit because this is not a service. This is, I guess, what you'd call a feature. But honestly, the Stardew Valley events get me so excited every time. In Stardew Valley, they had the different holidays where it's like, oh, now we're going to have the big festival where we all hang out and, like, you got to bring your best pumpkins or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, we're all going to give each other Christmas gifts. And there was all these, like, mechanics around giving gifts to different villagers that wanted different things. And like, it was, that game is so much of a routine of, like, get up, water your crops, do this, do that. And that was, like, it was on your calendar. You could see it coming. You were like, oh, I got to get ready for this Christmas thing. There's the one where you, like, all put stuff into a soup pot for someone to drink. And I forgot it was happening. And so the only thing I had in my inventory was, like, pine tar. And I threw that in there. And let me tell you, the mayor really didn't like drinking that pine tar. And I got a real bad grade on that.
What's really good is if you throw his underwear in there, because you can get the mayor's underwear through a certain way, and then you can throw it into the soup, and he's not too happy about it. Good content. That is good content right there.
So yeah, I'm going to say Stardew Valley, even though it's cheating.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that's good. That's creative.
Cool.
Now earlobes.
Earlobes, they start right here. I'm squeezing it. This is my
earlobe. Do you have an earlobe?
I have an earlobe.
See, this question comes from a background, you see. I like to make a joke that an earlobe is only when someone has it when it kind of swoops down a little bit, like a dangly boy.
Okay.
Because some people, their genetics are just like, their ear just goes just whoop, right into their face, you know?
Sure, they have very small earlobes, yeah.
Exactly. See, I like to call them not earlobes because there's no dangly lobe.
It's like,
you know?
It's like people who don't have a neck, but they do have a neck.
Exactly.
But they don't have a neck.
But they don't. But they do. Yeah.
Okay.
So
you can not have an earlobe, but you do have an earlobe, but you don't have an earlobe.
Yes. You know what? What is Merriam's Webster dictionary define? What is an earthquake? No, what is an earlobe? You know, Daniel, the human earlobe is composed of... I don't want to know what it's composed of. Give me a definition.
I'm shocked that there are more people...
I typed earlobe.
I'm shocked to know that there are more people in this world that don't know what an earthquake is than that don't know what an earlobe is. That human beings as a populace are more familiar with earlobes than earthquakes. That's shocking to me.
Well, you see, one of them kills people, but I'm not going to tell you which one. The dictionary says it is the soft, fleshy lower part of the external ear.
Right, because you got your inner ear, which is a whole different part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that makes you vomit in VR.
Yep. Thank you, Oxford.
That's not Merriam's dictionary.
So, yeah, you see, I got a little, you can see the tiniest bit of a little lump sticking out.
Of your lobes.
On my ears.
Lobes.
Yeah, but I know some people where it's just an ear. That's it. There's like no lobe. It's just the bottom part of the ear. Like, it doesn't count as an earlobe because it's not an earlobe. It's just a sloop. Right into the face we go.
At Patient Players, we do love and we have tiny earlobes. Mine seem normal. I feel like I've got some lobe.
Yeah, I think you got some romp.
There you go.
Some bump on those ears.
We gotta be careful or Twitch is gonna crack down on all this showing of earlobe on the stream.
Oh, no. No, no, no feet cam and no ear cams.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Anyway, that's the end of the question segment.
I think that's the end of the podcast at this point, Jordan. This has been a great episode. Thank you for joining us, everybody. As a quick reminder, if you were interested in any of the games we talked about, we went over Animal Crossing, Pikmin 3, talked a little bit about Lumines Remastered, and Dragon's Dogma. All four of those games on Switch, funny enough. Look out for the free games coming this upcoming week on the Epic Game Store. Check out Fortnite if you haven't heard of it already, which, of course, everyone's heard of it.
Yes. Oh, by the way, only 350 million players as of May.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that the dead game Fortnite is coming up on the podcast so much, but...
Yeah, over a quarter billion.
And
it's all right.
Hades, Chronos Before the Ashes were also talked about. Minecraft, a little bit of Smash Bros. Adventure, Capitalist Adventure, Communist. Lots of good stuff going on, but we will catch you around next week. Don't forget, weekend live recording of the podcast. Catch that over on Twitch. You can follow all of our social media, including Twitch and Twitter and all that, over at patientplayers.com/listen. That link will get you to our Discord. You can also go to patientplayers.com/discord, ask questions, hang out with us throughout the week, send us emails over to patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And that is going to do it. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next week. If anyone's still listening, I want to give a shout out to some folks out there. I was going to mention this earlier in the podcast, completely forgot. We have a very strange trend recently. We are being invaded by a group of Canadians who are listening to all of our episodes 6 months late. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're doing this, but thank you.
But we will find you.
But we will find you. We will thank you. Oh, okay.
That's... Oh. Sorry. Wrong message.
We will love you. We do love.
We will love you.
But
yes, A. Sorry, you need to say A at the end, or else they don't. This gets lost in translation.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Did I do that right? Am I saying sorry right? Am I apologizing right?
It's sorry, A.
Sorry, A. A.
Yeah.
A. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've been practicing Spanish on Duolingo, not Canadian, so I'm not quite there yet. But
it also helps if you have any maple syrup just in your general vicinity.
That's what I was drinking out of this goblet, obviously.
Oh, perfect, dude! You were prepared. You've got Canada flowing through your veins.
But yeah, no joke. We've seen a huge spike, like 4 to 5 times the amount of people that normally listen to us. Either there's a robot that is tricking us, or a whole lot of people got really interested in all of our episodes from February. I'm guessing it's the robot thing.
Canadian so, robot.
Shout outs to the Canadian robot listening to our podcast. And if you are real people, based on the trends, you won't get to this episode until like next year sometime. But whenever you hear this, thanks, I guess. Send us an email. Let us know who you are.
PatientPlayersPodcast@gmail.com.
What Canadian tweeted about the podcast and then has continued to tweet only our February episodes? I'll never know. But thanks.
We're going to become the Among Us of podcasts.
You're right. Just like a year and a half after it's relevant, everybody's going to love it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, everyone. You guys have a great night. Bye.
Ho, 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 and goodbye and good night.
Goodbye.